Can you talk a little bit about the rationale for anti-angiogenics?
Sure. So, I mean, I think one thing is just empiricism, right? We know TKIs and anti-angiogenics work in the disease. We know that immunotherapy has some level of activity. And I think because of that, it's just reasonable to look at that together. But there is, I think, a biology behind it, a basic science that's emerging behind it. We know that when you block VEGF and associated pathways, it may have effects on the immune microenvironment. It could suppress suppressive cells. It may have effects on the vasculature that enhance T cell trafficking. And actually, you've seen some of these data in papers or correlative data related to renal cell. And so I think there is a very reasonable rationale scientifically to combine the two. And certainly, if you look at the clinical data, you know, frontline immunotherapy alone is a negative, but when we combine it with an anti-angiogenic, we see, you know, IMbrave150, which is a positive study. I mean, there's improvement in survival, progression-free survival, a higher objective response rate, and I think very importantly, it's very tolerable compared to sorafenib. And so, I mean, we already know that there are other combination strategies that are kind of on the launch pad or enrolling. So the LEAP-02 data, where we're waiting to see this, which is lenvatinib versus lenvatinib pembrolizumab in the frontline. There's the COSMIC 312, which is basically looking at atezo with cabozantinib versus a sorafenib and a single agent cabozantinib arm. And so these studies, these phase three studies, which are, you know, pivotal and will hopefully answer those questions, are really driven by that science of the potential of at least additive or synergistic benefit with these combinations. And so I think it is a very exciting time, and I'm very excited to see those data, and hopefully they'll read out soon.